like that because many of the fathers are not with the child's mother. But it's important to let the child know that you still love that woman, even though sometimes some of them guys are like, boy, I don't know if I can love her anymore. What, you know what? The child needs to know that there's a connection there because that child loves that mom. But anyway, that's another whole thing. But I was at this meeting, and it was a graduation type ceremony for guys that had been through the whole program. And so some of the guys brought their wives and brought their kids. And there's this one young boy there who what they do in these groups, they give everybody an opportunity to speak and just share about, you know, a teachable moment, how many kids you have, a teachable moment. And then they have a question of the day usually that the men try to answer. And this young boy, I mean, he just took the floor. He was in it. I could never imagine being like that when I was a kid. He spoke so well. He's 12 years old, and he spoke so well, and he shared this story in this teachable moment about him and what was his stepfather sitting right there next to him. The whole room was in tears, and it was just incredible. And then it came time where the speaker asked asked if somebody would help him. They were asking for, you know, what did each guy asking, what did you get out of this program? And so he was giving all these words, and he wanted to write them all down because there was a lot of affirming words and a lot of things. And he asked for a volunteer, and boy, that young boy, he jumped right up there, and he was up there, and he was so into it. And you know what? We need to invest in our children, each and every one of them. God has a purpose and a plan in their life. And it's important for us to recognize the value that they have, even if it's just something as simple as, hey, you know what, Gabby, come right up here and share the Pledge of Allegiance with us. You know, she'll never forget that. She'll never forget that day that this church body allowed her to stand up there and present herself and give what she had, and that's just so awesome. And so I encourage you to, you know, I've been places where, you know, if somebody allowed a kid to jump up on the front of the stage, they'd have been, oh my gosh, what kind of place is it? Well, you know what? This is the kind of place that loves kids. And we want to teach them, we want to love them and give them opportunity. Yeah. Well, yeah, only when they're asked. Yeah, that's important. There is a little bit of a, yeah, you have to be careful with that. There's everything decently in order. Yeah, you let me up there last week. How come I can't go this week? But anyway, praise the Lord. I'd like to welcome our visitors this morning. By the way, we have a guest pastor in the house, apparently on vacation, and he's not aware of this custom that the Assemblies of God has, that whenever a pastor comes in unannounced, they have to preach the message that the pastor has prepared. And so, brother... I should know better than to give you that opportunity. Amen. Brother Underwood, thanks for coming today. I hope you're blessed, you and your wife. If you have time, maybe this afternoon we can do lunch. We'll see. Stick around afterwards. We don't have any plans, right? We'd love to just have lunch with you if you got time. You're on vacation. I mean, what else you got to do, right? Our pleasure to have you today. And amen. I don't have a lot of notes today, so you guys are in for a really long message. As long as you're all blessed, it's okay? Well, it's for some people, a nap is blessed, right? So if I put you to sleep with a long message, you'll be blessed. Luke chapter 10. I am trying to just follow God, shift gears, go in the direction He wants me to go. I can't completely get away from the love languages yet. For those who are not aware, I think most of you are aware, we've been talking a lot about five love languages, about the commandments that Jesus gave us to love God, to love our neighbor as ourselves, and how important it is that we get the love right, and how these love languages are a very good tool to help us to get that love right, loving one another. As ourselves. Oh, thank you, Meredith. I was going to ask somebody to do that, and I forgot. You see that? You got the love right. You just did an act of service that I needed. And so I'm going to touch on that in a little bit, and we're going to see something in this story, how the love languages play out even in God's Word. In Luke chapter 10, there's this parable of the Good Samaritan. And I'm going to read through. Actually, let's just read through Luke chapter 10. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out the 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." And then Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Father, I thank you for your word and how powerful it is and how life-changing it is. And I pray, God, that as we take a little bit closer look at it today, that you will speak to our hearts and you'll change our lives. God, thank you and bless each one here. In Jesus' name, amen. The story of the Good Samaritan. Most of us are probably familiar with it. If that's the first time you've ever heard it, let me encourage you. You need to be reading your Bibles. Amen. I got a good pastor here today. You need to be reading your Bible. If you are not reading your Bible, anybody can preach to you anything that sounds good, and you'll believe it, and you'll follow, and you'll be led astray. And so it's important to know what the Word of God says. Hopefully, the story of the Good Samaritan is something that you've heard several times. Hopefully, it's something that God has used to work in your heart to help you to understand who your neighbor is and how it is that he wants you to treat them. And so I want to go through this a little bit, and we're going to talk about some things pertaining to love languages, but also some other things. Starting in the first verse, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Now, I have highlighted there in my Bible, "tested him." How many times do we test the Lord? How many times, even though we are reading our Bibles, how many times we take what it says and then we say, let's see, is this really true, God? It says a certain lawyer. How many know lawyers like to get their point across? Right, brother? We have a lawyer here. And when somebody comes along and on the opposition and tries to say something that, you know, you might not agree with, or maybe you want to show something in a different light as a lawyer, you're going to stand up and you're going to test that other party, aren't you? And we do this in our conversations with our friends and our neighbors at times. You know, they may come along and have certain ideas about things, and if we think differently, we're going to test them. And certainly we do the same thing when we read our Bibles or when we hear some preaching or somebody comes along and tells us something about Jesus. Most of us, at some point in our life, we had to test it. And this guy is no different. Now, I believe there's 2 different ways of testing. It's good to, you know, the Bible tells us to try this every spirit. In other words, if somebody's telling you something, if somebody's prophesying over you, if somebody's, you know, trying to share something about Christ, and it just isn't settling right, you know, it's good, even if it is settling right, it's good to go back to God's Word and test it. based on the story, I get the idea that perhaps this lawyer was coming at it on the side of an argument, on the side of feeling that he was right and maybe Jesus was wrong. But it could just be that he wanted to test him. He wanted to know, does Jesus know what he's talking about? So he tested him. But he asked this question, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And that is a good question. It's a question I believe that probably all of us, even if we've never worded it in that way or understood it in that way, somewhere deep down inside, we all want to know what it takes to get to heaven. Don't we? I don't know. Well, I maybe very few people. Most people I come across, they want to know where they're going when they die. Most people I come across have this hope and desire that there's something more, there's something better, that there's this place called heaven, and that it's an eternal place. Now, I know some people that are very scared of the thought of eternal life, and that's really interesting, but what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, I have this conversation all the time. I had it again last night with a couple that we were at a wedding last night, and there was a couple that goes to a church over in Palmyra, and we were just sharing back and forth, and a gentleman was telling me that he really struggled with witnessing. He really felt inside that he needed to be winning souls, but he really struggled. He didn't feel that was his gift. He wasn't sure how to word things. And whenever I come across that, even especially with believers, one of the first things I want to know from them, can you explain to me salvation? Because if you cannot explain it to me, how do you know that you know what you know? That makes sense? Every time I go to the prison or up to the county jail and I have a room full of people, even if everybody but one person has already heard this question, if there's one person in the room and 20 other people that have already heard me ask this question, I'm going to ask the question again for that one person. Do you understand salvation? And if the person says to me, yes, I'm saved, I understand salvation, then I say to them, okay, explain it to me. I usually catch a lot of them. Very few are able to explain it back to me. And that concerns me. We as believers need to know how to articulate the Word of God in such a way that we can lead somebody to Jesus. What I did recently, and I encourage you to do this. Oh, where'd it go? Here it is. I looked at my wallet because that's where this is supposed to be. How many know I don't have a memory that's real good with... Huh?
It's that half a hundred thing.
What's your name again? Oh, yeah. And I know that not everybody is really good at quoting Scripture, at remembering Scripture. Brother Paul's got something right there in his hand. A lot of people know they're saved, but they just don't know how to explain it. What I have right here, very simple. You can look it up on a computer, do a little Google. The Romans Road to Salvation. And you will find all the scriptures you need to lead somebody to Jesus. You'll be able to explain to somebody what salvation is through that, just five quick quotes. You can share with somebody and help them to admit that they're a sinner. And you can help them to understand that the wages of sin is death. And you can help them to know that Jesus died for their sin. And you can lead them in a prayer of repentance and turning to Christ. And you can help them to receive through faith Jesus Christ as their Lord. Simple piece of paper carried in my wallet. It's where it's supposed to be. I was using it as a bookmark because I took it out to the jail and I didn't... So if you struggle with that kind of thing, a little piece of paper smaller than the dollar bill that you have in your wallet. Put it in there, and you know what? It'd be a good thing to look up the scriptures, get them in your heart, and know that you'll be able to share with somebody how to have eternal life. Because you know what? As Christians, people are going to test us, aren't they? And you know what? How many have ever had that experience where you came across a non-believer and you started to tell them, oh, you got to be saved, and then they test you, just like this guy was doing. Oh, really? Well, what's the Bible say about salvation? Hold on, let me look it up. They're going to test you. And it's good to have the answers. It's good to know what you know in order that you can explain it to others, and then you'll be much more effective winning souls for the kingdom of God. Air conditioner keeps changing pages. Must be there's something earlier I should have preached. One page earlier. Verse 26, he says to him, what is written in the law? Jesus says to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? I find that very curious. Jesus says, what is your reading of it? I find that curious because even today, there are people who are misinterpreting God's word. There are people that are trying to say that it says something that it doesn't say, or that it doesn't say things that it does say. There are churches, I mean, whole denominations, getting themselves in trouble with God, I believe, because they are taking God's word and they're twisting it. And they're allowing things to take place that are ungodly in their right in their sanctuaries because of their reading of it. And so I find it curious that Jesus, when he is being tested, and when the guy's asking him about eternal life, he says, well, what's your reading of the Bible? How do you understand it? And that's a good question for you as a believer when you're out witnessing, to trying to explain to others, what's your interpretation of the Bible? And if they say they don't read the Bible, well, or it'll be evident that they don't read the Bible. But it's good to know what angle somebody is coming from. And it's good to know, for you to know God's word, in order that when they come at you and they explain to you what their reading of it is, you'll recognize right away whether or not it is of God or not of God. You see, when the person is testing you, it's good for you to be able to test them right back. But you can't do that if you don't have the answer. You can't do that if you're not close enough to Jesus to know him, to love him, to worship him, and to really have him in your heart in such a way that you can let him just communicate his love through you. And so what is your reading of it, he says. And so the guy answers right. And it's kind of funny, if you look at, as I'm thinking about this, and I see the whole story, it's almost the same thing. Jesus says, what's your interpretation? It's almost the same thing when I ask, you know, do you understand salvation? And they say yes, or they say no. And then I say, well, can you explain it to me? What's your reading of it? And then the guy gives him the right answer. He says in verse 27, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. And so the guy answers right. Now, what I said, every time somebody will say to me, yeah, I understand salvation, I'll say, okay, explain it to me. And if they start talking about Jesus Christ and him crucified for their sins, knowing that they were a sinner, knowing that they needed to be forgiven because the wages of sin is death, and they knew that if they didn't turn to Christ, then they would be spending eternity in hell versus being in heaven with him. And they start telling me what the Bible says about God's love, and it's very evident when somebody knows it and they communicate it to you and they have the right answer, as this guy did. But sometimes they say yes, but you need a little more clarification. Because it says here, but he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Who's my neighbor?" Before I go there, let's back up a little bit. We all know that the guy quoted what is right. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. We've been talking again about all these love languages. And most of the teaching that we did on it, and especially last week when I was sharing with you about how to love others as yourself, and when you learn what your love language is, give that to others. Love others as yourself. And so a lot of the things that I've been talking about is how to relate to one another, loving one another. But you know what? The first commandment is love the Lord your God. And so, yeah, we have to love one another. You know, the Bible tells us that if we don't love our brother, then we're lying when we say we love God. And so all of that is very, very important. But let's not forget about loving God through our love languages. It says there to love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, with all your mind. I believe in those four categories, your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind, you have words of affirmation. One of the primary love languages. Words of affirmation, speaking kind words, speaking positive words, speaking encouraging words, giving praise. You do that with your voice. You do that with your mind. You do that with your heart. You do that with your soul. You speak words of affirmation to God as you love him. Quality time is the second primary love language. Getting in his presence. Getting on your knees. Just sitting and listening. Hearing his voice. I had an interesting week. During the week, I spoke to one guy who told me that he never hears God speak. He doesn't think God talks to him. And then yesterday, I talked to another guy that said, you know what? The Lord told me this. Something very specific. The truth is, God is speaking to us all the time, but if you do not spend quality time with him and love him with quality time, you're not going to get the fullness of him. Again, you do that with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Receiving gifts is another love language. How many know that God loves gifts? He loves gifts, he gives gifts, and he loves gifts back. God loves the what? Cheerful giver. Right? Acts of service. How many know God loves it when you do acts of service for him? Right? What are acts of service for God? Say it again. Oh, vacuuming the carpet. Thank you, honey. Cleaning. Going on a missions trip. Preaching, teaching. Putting on a car wash for the neighborhood. Mowing your neighbor's lawn when they're gone. Even your own job. What's the Bible say? Do everything as unto who? The Lord. I remember when I worked at Sessler's, there were people that would guys that were complaining all the time. Oh, we shouldn't have to do this for this kind of money. We should get paid better for this and that. And I said, you know what? I don't work for Sessler's. I'm not worried about it. I work for God. Sessler's may be reaping the benefits of my labor, but I'm doing it because I love God. So I'll trust God with what it's worth. And when he pays me, it'll be much more than what Sessler's paid me. So I'm not worried about it. I work for him. Acts of service for the Lord. Physical touch. Another primary love language. Well, how do you physically touch God? When you do this to the least of these, my brother, you've done it unto me. It's very important that we speak love to God through all of the love languages, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. That's everything. All of our deeds, all of our thoughts and thinking. From the deepest places within, just love being poured out for our Lord and Savior. And it comes out in worship. It comes out in deeds. It comes out in all sorts of ways. Now, it's very interesting that this guy even knew this, unless he had heard Jesus, when Jesus told the Pharisees what the commandments were, when they asked him, you know, what's the greatest commandments? And he told them to love your Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. If this guy wasn't there, I'm really curious if he was or if he wasn't, because to be able to pick those commands out of the Bible, he had to know the Word of God. He had to know what the law said. Because the first one comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one comes from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. And it's the second half of the verse, the part about loving your neighbor as yourself. And so for him to even know that means that he was in the Bible. He was in the scrolls or whatever it was they had in the form of God's Word at that time. And so he had that going for him. But it's interesting what it says. He wanting to justify himself said, okay, who's my neighbor? Now, here's the thing. How many times have we come across people that want to justify themselves? It's very important that we understand that we don't justify anything. Only Jesus Christ, He's the one that will justify everything. And so when you think, oh, I got the right way, I know how to do this, I don't need anybody to tell me, I'll justify myself with what I'm doing. And we do that. And you know what? It's sad. Sometimes we use God's Word. We'll take a scripture out of context, we'll twist something up, and we'll justify our actions based on a wrong premise of God's Word. And here this guy, he knows the answer to eternal life, yet he wants to justify himself in that apparently he wasn't all that good about loving his neighbor. Well, who is my neighbor? How do we know? Maybe the guy lived out in the middle of the wilderness. He didn't have any neighbors. I don't know. And so then Jesus shares the story. The man falls among the thieves. And the thieves did the absolute opposite of love. They stole from him. They beat him. They left him half dead. And do you know something? I think that there are times when we come across people, even though we don't take their money, we don't strip them of their clothes, we don't beat them up, there's many times we come in contact with people and we leave them half dead because we don't speak love into their lives. And you know, the more that I talk about these love languages, and people are starting to put me on the spot. Now I got people coming to me asking me about stuff, and at the Fatherhood Connection, the speaker is talking, when he asked the guys, well, what was your favorite part of the program? And one guy, first guy, oh, the love languages stuff. And then I see the one of the other coordinators of the program whisper to the speaker who's out of Rochester, well, that Dale over there, he's like an expert in this. And I'm like, oh, boy. So then he says, I want you to come to Rochester and speak and share that with the others. And I'm like, oh, boy, what did I get myself into here? Oh, Jesus, help me. But when we fail to love, you know, it could be anybody. We've had times, we were up at Denny's having dinner, and the waitress come over, and she started sharing with us. And for no reason, we don't know this girl from anyone, for no reason, she started explaining what was going on in her life. Very tragic stuff. Now, we could have said, okay, fine, but please, I'd like my Coke and I'd like my burger and hurry up, I'm hungry. We would have left her half dead. But instead, our immediate response was, hey, can we pray for you? And we just prayed for her. Just let her know that somebody cared. And then we went back a couple weeks. We were back, I don't know, a month after so or whatever it was. We saw her again, and thankfully, because of my memory, my wife said, hey, that's the girl. And so, yeah, it was. I recognized. And so I asked her how things were going. She goes, oh, you guys are the people that prayed for me. You see, it matters. We need to speak love, not just to the people you know, but even the people that you see somebody hurting. Hey, brother, can I help you? You have a need? There's something going on in your life? And we really didn't do anything for her. We didn't take her to the inn and give her a room and pay for it and do any other. We just offered up some prayer. And sometimes that's all it takes, just to know that somebody cares, know that somebody will love. And so what this guy does, he takes him. It says there he had compassion. In verse 33, so he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Acts of service. He loved him with some acts of service. Now, I'm curious when it says he had compassion. I'm wondering if that was affirming to the man. Words of affirmation. Acts of service. Brought him to an inn, took care of him. Quality time. Right? And on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, giving of gifts. You see how Jesus, through this little story, demonstrates, shows you how to demonstrate love to somebody? I'll guarantee you, when that guy found somebody that came along, he saw a priest and a Levite coming along. Oh, thank God somebody's coming. And they walk across the other side and just leave him. But I'll guarantee you, when somebody came along with some compassion for him, I believe he was affirmed on the inside. Oh, thank God somebody's here to help. Somebody loved me enough to help. Somebody loved me enough to do something for me. Somebody loved me enough to give out of their pocket for me. That's powerful. Jesus tells this guy at the end, go and do likewise. You know what he's telling us? Go and do likewise. Go and love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all that you are, everything that you have. Now, I want to back up just for 1 minute. While justifying himself, the guy says, who's my neighbor? Why didn't he say while he was justifying himself, well, who's my God? You see, most people think they knew who their God is. Why didn't he say, who's my God? And the truth of it is, as we learn in our Bibles, if you don't love your brother, you don't love God either. You're a liar. And here Jesus is pointing out, you know what? This is who your brother is. And if you get this right, then you'll know God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Some translations say true and proper worship. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I am very concerned with true and proper worship, and I'm very concerned with the will of God. This guy should have been saying, you know what? I want to know my God. And we should be to that place in our lives where we want to know God. I've been serving the Lord for over 30 years, and I still want to know Him more. And I know that there's more of Him to know. He continues, you know, as we grow, we will not know Him fully until we see Him face to face. And so wherever you're at within your walk with God today, you can take another step forward. That's one of the things that I just love about serving God, is there's always something new, there's always something greater, the love just gets deeper. And the closer I get to Him, the more I realize this verse, through His mercy, as I present myself to Him a living sacrifice, and I do my best not to be conformed to this world, but to have my mind renewed, to be transformed through the power of His love and the power of His Spirit. As I do that, oh my gosh, learning more about God. I want to know God. Another verse, John 4:23, but the hour is coming now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is seeking people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And there's all kinds of definitions about what spirit and what truth is. But all I'm saying this morning is, with everything you are, everything you do, everything you think, know God and know your neighbor and love them. Love them in every way possible. And you will find the perfect will of God. Now, how many know that loving God and worshiping God are two different things? And the true worshiper only comes, true worship only comes from true love. And so if you do not have a true love for God, you are not going to truly worship Him. It's interesting about Christianity versus all the other religions in the world. In my thinking, I may be wrong. Somebody could correct me. I'd be okay with that. But in my thinking, Christianity is really the only religion where we are taught to love God and love our neighbor. Other religions might say, oh, love your neighbor, love and peace, and love yourself, and this is all bliss. Well, who's God? Well, the sun is God, the moon is God, the mountains are God. This microphone is God. Uh-huh. His name is Mike. And you know what? I've seen song leaders worship Mike. Huh? Or there are religions that'll say, oh, love God, but kill everybody else. What? And people say, well, how do you know that you follow the right religion? Because there's so many interpretations of the Bible, and there's so many other religions, and everybody thinks that theirs is the right one. And I'm thinking, you know what? All I can say is my heart tells me, go with the one that says love God and love everybody else too. It's powerful. Life-changing. Song we were singing. He romances us, He pursues us, He reclaims us, He restores us, He transforms us, all through the power of love. You want to be a true worshiper of God? Be a true lover of God and be a true lover of your neighbor. I'm going to try to preach something other than the love languages next week. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. Because it's so important that we learn to love the other in a way that matters to them. And that comes to you and I here in this place today, and it comes to the lost soul down on the street. I was sharing with somebody yesterday about when we started Celebrate Recovery and how God had to change my heart. Because I would look at the gangs and I would say, you know, look at those losers over there. And that was wrong. And God had to change my heart to where now I'm to the place in my life where it's like, you know what? They're not losers. They're sin addicts. Just like me. Just like all of us. It's not drug addiction, it's sin addiction. It's not alcohol addiction, it's sin addiction. There's only one answer for sin, and that's Jesus Christ. And my Bible tells me that I'm to love them too. And so God worked in my heart and I had to repent. They're no longer losers. They're people just like you and me who somebody needs to love them enough to tell them about Jesus Christ. And so now when I see them on the street, my mentality is not, look at those losers. Now my mentality is, I'm coming to tell you. I'm coming for you. Because you need to know that Jesus loves you. You need to know that He'll forgive you and that He'll transform your life. He is pursuing you. The only reason, you know, when you walk up to somebody like that, you can tell them, be bold about it. The only reason I'm here is because God wants you to know God is pursuing you. He wants to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He wants to offer you eternal life. He wants to take that addiction that's in you and wash it away and give you a love and addiction for Him that'll completely set you on a new road, a new life. And if we don't learn how to love others, well, what's your reading of that going to be? What's your interpretation of that going to be? Because the Bible tells us very clearly what the interpretation of that is. Amen. Please stand with me this morning. I want you to get in the practice, and we all should do this, get into practice. Wherever you go, understanding your love language. Those of you who haven't taken the test, we have more. You can figure out what your love language is. Everywhere you go, whether it's the restaurant, whether it's to work, whether it's here at church, love somebody with that language. Get in that practice. Of just giving and loving. Amen. Lord, I thank you for your word, for the example that you have showed us, the demonstration of the Good Samaritan, how he loved perhaps even one that would have been hard to love. For surely the priest and the Levite weren't able to do it. So God, I pray that you will help each and every one of us here in this place today. Help us all, God, to have the courage to love. Help us, oh God, as we reach out to you to find you. God, that we would love you more. We would love you in such a way that we would worship you. And that we would worship you in a way that matters to you, because that's what you seek. in spirit and in truth, oh God. We want to do your will. And so bless each one today, God. Lord, if we need a change in our hearts, reveal it to us, that we would be transformed. Hallelujah. If there's anyone here this morning that just needs to spend a few moments at this altar just asking God to help them in any way. We sang a song earlier about waiting upon the Lord. Our strength will rise when we wait upon the Lord. If you're weak today, spend a few moments here. And if the Lord should lead you to pray for somebody that's at this altar, by all means, love them in that way. If you need to solidify your love for Jesus Christ, then I encourage you to come to this altar as well. Perhaps some of us need to repent of some things. None of us are beyond having made mistakes. None of us are beyond having the need for God to forgive us for things. And if this morning you're not drawn by the Spirit of God to this altar, then by all means, love one another. Don't leave this place without loving somebody. Whether it's with a handshake or just a hello or hey, can I pray for you? However God leads. Father, I pray teach us to love as you love. Teach us to give as you give. Teach us to do as you do. God, we want you to be pleased with us. We want our interpretation of your word to be right and holy. We want to understand as you understand. And Lord, as you test us, may you find, oh God, that we are doing our best to follow your will in every way. Take any misinterpretation, oh God, and clarify it for us. And by all means, God, teach us and help us to love those who are around us that are hard. Help us not to see losers. Help us not to see the ugly. But God, help us to see a soul that's reaching out and needs salvation. Pray for anyone, God, who does not know how to articulate a conversation with somebody and lead them to Jesus, that they would take it upon themselves and learn what the Romans road is, or learn other scriptures, oh God, that are so powerful in transforming lives, so that we would have an answer for those who come calling and those who ask, how do I be saved? Is there anyone here this morning who does not know that, does not know Jesus Christ, does not know how to be saved? If there is, I want to offer you an invitation this morning. You come right up here and we'll share the gospel. We'll share the scripture with you. If there's anyone, I know most of you, I believe, I hope, trust we're all saved here. But if there's even a question, come right up and we'll pray for you and we'll share Jesus with you. Amen. I'm going to sing a song, give you a few more moments if you want to spend a little time here at this altar. Other than that, you're dismissed. Have a great afternoon. We'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock, continuing our Bible study through the walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Wednesday night, we'll be here at 7 o'clock for Celebrate Recovery. Coming. I trust the Lord bless you today. Let's go out and love somebody, amen. Thank you.
empty world.